Hey, Seattle Nice listeners, quick word from our sponsor, the You Know Me Now podcast. We all have opinions about homelessness, but do you feel like you know the whole story? The You Know Me Now podcast does deep dive interviews with folks living on Seattle streets. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts or at youknowmenow.com. That's youknowmenow.com. Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Seattle Nice. I'm David Hyde, here with Erica C. Barnett of Publicola, who is joining us after, what, like a 120-hour week, and it's only Tuesday.
120-hour day.
120-hour day, and it's only Tuesday. Yeah. And political consultant Sandeep Kaushik.
I'm working, man. Taping on a Tuesday night, that's hard work.
All right, we are. It's another emergency edition of the podcast. This week, Mayor Bruce Harrell signed an executive order to address the city's drug crisis. The fentanyl crisis on our street is causing death and disorder, one of the lines from that press conference. So there was a focus on overdose deaths, how to address that, drug treatment programs, and on going after drug dealers. This is part of a larger plan that Bruce Harrell's been talking about since before the election, really, to improve or change what downtown Seattle looks like, what it feels like. So the question, you know, really today for this podcast, is it a step in the right direction? Does it do enough? Does it do too much? Those are some of the questions we'll be getting into on this podcast. But first, Erica, you've been covering this in detail, reporting on it. So what can you tell us about this executive order?
Yeah, well, like you said, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. You know, part of the announcement was about a downtown activation plan, which is separate from this executive order. The executive order was also kind of a mishmash. It did include, you know, some stuff about we're going to empower SPD to crack down on, you know, high-level drug dealers. And I think that, like, a lot of the coverage has oddly really focused on that. I don't think there's actually anything new there. I don't think there's a new initiative. The big news to me and what I focused on is the emphasis on people who have overdosed on our streets and creating potentially, and again, this is all, you know, not funded as an executive order, but potentially creating a response where people can go to somewhere that isn't the hospital, that isn't, you know, the police station, obviously, to recover from an overdose and, you know, get access to services and medication, which does not really exist now. I think Sandeep, you know, can say more about that idea, because we've talked about it before, I think last week on this podcast even. But that would be a pretty unique step for Seattle. And the other thing that, you know, is outright fucking radical for Seattle is they're talking about funding, and it's happening, a contingency management program, which is basically where you reward people with some small reward, like a small gift certificate or something, for essentially a clean pee test. So stay sober, you know, at least the day of your test, you're clean, you get a little reward. And it sounds perhaps a little silly, but it is incredibly effective and super evidence-based. And, you know, I just want to be the first to say, to praise a great idea. And I'm glad that's happening. I think it got overlooked a lot, but I think it's a really big step in the right direction. Sandeep, tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, no, first of all, we should preface this by saying that this sort of downtown revitalization or downtown activation plan, the mayor announced that this is the first in a series of announcements that he's going to be making about this, so that there's more to come. The second point I would make is I do think there are some really concrete, tangible ideas, maybe kind of in some sense small ball ideas, but very real concrete things that potentially could make a good difference. Like the contingency management idea about paying people to stay clean, I think is a really interesting idea. It comes out of necessity being the mother of invention here, right? When it comes to opioids like fentanyl and heroin, we do have chemical interventions and treatments. We have naloxone to reverse overdoses. We have Suboxone or methadone, right? That helps to keep people from getting junk sick, essentially, and so helps them avoid continued use of opioids that get them high. When it comes to meth, there isn't anything, right? There is chronic serious methamphetamine use, they really don't have a good treatments for. And so this contingency management stuff, I think, is an interesting, potentially really, you know, the early results are encouraging, that this is a thing that really could help address the methamphetamine issue in particular. I mean, I don't think they would intend to apply just to that, but this could be something there. So I'm with you 100%, Erica. I think it's great that they're doing that. We need to try these things and work out the kinks and figure out what'll work.
So the contingency management program, as I understand it, it's going to be run by Plymouth Housing. They, you know, got the ball rolling, I think, last fall, and this is going to be a state-funded program. There are actually a number of these pilots happening all over Washington State, and so it's kind of like these two threads coming together with the city of Seattle and the city council wanting, you know, to explore a program like this, and the state of Washington also wanting to fund a program like this. So there's $800,000 coming from the state for this program. They're also applying for an NIH grant that would allow them to basically fund the pilot program for a longer period of time. But it's still, when you say small ball, it's still going to be, you know, I think the state is hoping to see maybe 20 people enrolled in this program per pilot program. Plymouth is saying up to 60 of its 1,000 plus residents could be eligible for the program. So it's the beginning of a program that could at some point work. And that leads me to really my question for you all, which is how much of this executive order is sort of substantive new programs on the part of the city? Kind of, I guess it's back to the point that Sandeep was raising, but I wanted to hear you, Erica, kind of weigh in on that issue.
Well, look, it's an executive order. I mean, the executive orders are, I mean, unless you're declaring a state of emergency or something major, they're kind of, I mean, nothing. They're not, they're a statement of intent, right? They're not a budget. They're not funding. That can't be. The mayor cannot single-handedly say, I'm going to spend, you know, a million of the city's dollars or X amount. So, you know, I mean, it is just an executive order. That said, I do think it is pretty, you know, a pretty good step in the right direction for a city that has been so focused and so solely focused on punitive measures and on this sort of traditional treatment model, which doesn't work for a hell of a lot of people, to just say, we endorse this idea. I mean, contingency management is not new. It's been around for, you know, at least a decade or two, right? This is not like some brand new concept for the city and for this particular mayor, I think, to say, we endorse this idea. And you know, even Sarah Nelson, city council member, who's been very focused on the punitive side and very focused on kind of conventional approaches to addiction. She's in recovery herself and has talked about how, you know, treatment was what kind of got her through and made her life possible. So I think it is a big deal. I mean, yes, the program is going to be small. But I mean, so you could say the same thing for the, you know, upcoming mental health crisis centers levy. It's not going to build that many, you know, beds, but, you know, shit's expensive and contingency management is actually pretty cheap.
Yeah, like I said, we need to try stuff when it comes to particularly to methamphetamine addiction. And there are some promising early results. They're going to pilot this. We'll see. Like, I will say this, like, man, the mayor is a master on the public relations front. I thought the coverage of this sort of downtown activation plan and executive order was pretty glowing for him. And I do think
even on Publicola.
Yeah, yeah. I actually heard from someone.
I disagree with you, Sandeep. I think the usual suspects that you would think would hate it are hating it for reasons that I don't think are quite fair.
Well, you wrote a very positive thing about contingency management. And I can tell you, I heard from someone.
And the OD program.
I heard from somebody in the mayor's office who was crowing about how great the coverage was that they were getting around this whole plan and mentioned Erica Barnett wrote a positive.
Oh my God. tell Jamie Housen,
I will inject a note of skepticism into this, which is that I think part of the reason this landed so well is because it did look like a balanced approach, right? Where they're, you know, one of the lead items here was this talk about getting tough on fentanyl dealers, but we're also going to do contingency management. We're also going to create an opioid recovery site, a kind of one-stop harm reduction shop for you know, which I think is another very good, intriguing, interesting idea that we really, it's great that they're talking about it. I think there's already some federal funding that Caleb Banta Green is a UW addiction expert and researcher has already secured about this. And so there's conversations going on about moving that forward. But the fact that the city's blessing it and saying they want to do it, that's great. Let's figure it out. Because right now when people OD and you have a first response, often either they used to take people to Harborview, which was overkill because you don't need a Harborview bed to be tied up for an overdose recovery spot. Or now what often happens is they reverse an overdose with naloxone. The person gets up and walks down just walks away. Right. And walks down.
Well, I don't think that's any different than it ever has been. I mean, you still go, your options are still Harborview or walk away.
Well, but if
this would be a third option.
Yes. If they create this third option where there's an opportunity to intersect with people at the moment when they're recovering from overdose and with an attempt to get them
and,
you know, help. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, we should do
it. And I think it's going to depend, you know, a lot on like, who are those people? You know, is it Health One? Is it Health One handing people off to a social service provider? I mean, all of that is, you know, still in the air. I asked Harold about it and he said, you know, quite candidly, as he likes to say, I don't know yet. But, you know, I mean, of course, I'm skeptical too. There's no money attached to any of this. I'm just saying that it is a step in the right direction. And to your point about PR and the mayor's ability to get good coverage for stuff, I would challenge any of the people who have written about, you know, how this is, this terrible crackdown on fentanyl. What did the mayor announce that was new? Because we are already in this city cracking down on, you know, on all kinds of people from, you know, from very, very low level, street level dealers to, you know, to the federal government cracking down on, you know, the cartels and stuff. So there was a lot of talk about that, but I don't think there's anything new in this announcement. I think he was just couching some of this other stuff in the, you know, in this usual bluster, and there may be more in the rest of this plan. We don't know yet. But in this usual bluster about, you know, getting tough on drug dealers.
Right. And that's something like, okay. You like that there's not anything new happening here in terms of actually
it's
cracking
even,
down.
I just think it's clever.
This is where I'll be critical of this. When you read that language, which gets all this play, and I think there are a lot of people, if you read the coverage of the mayor's announcement, I think your typical, you know, person out there living in Seattle thinks like there's some big major new push to hold fentanyl dealers accountable. And when I call,
that's what I'm saying. Right, it's good PR.
Yeah.
For the mayor's point of view.
It's good PR. It's also kind of BS, right? I mean, when I called,
that's what PR
is. I called it. Well, you know, there's PR about stuff you're actually doing. And then there's like spin, right?
They're already cracking down.
I made a couple of calls about this and I asked, is there anything real about this crackdown on fentanyl dealers? Is SPD going to do anything differently? I was told, hell no. No, it's all like status quo. It's like, whatever's already happening is just going to keep happening. There's no, as Erica, as you say, there's nothing new on the punitive side at all.
Let me ask though, Allison Holcomb quoted in Axios under the yes, but section, yes, but while the mayor's focus on recovery is a welcome one, directing police to crack down on individuals who sell drugs, quote, is at odds with that effort, said Allison Holcomb of the ACLU. The woman who brought us legal pot in many ways here in Washington State, concerned about that.
I think the reason that this landed so well, you know, for the mayor politically is because it at least gestures at being balanced. We're going to do this thing on the punitive side with these fentanyl dealers who have led to what was the number he said? It is 580 overdose deaths in the city of Seattle, 70% of them fentanyl related in the last year. And that number is continuing to rise. So we really do have a crisis on our streets. We heard that from Lisa Dugard last, you know, in our last episode. But, you know, I think Allison's concerns are misplaced because they're not doing anything. You know,
it's not that they're not doing anything, Sandeep, and that is definitely not what I said. I said they're already doing the maximum that the city is able to do. The city can't crack down on the cartels. The city can't go after, you know, people for violating, you know, federal law. I mean, they can, but, the city's power is limited in terms of, you know, getting up the chain on that stuff. And I mean, and that's just the nature of a city. So cops can arrest people and they are doing that. And I don't think that's going to change. I mean, you can, you know, walk down Third Avenue and you can, you know, feel the police presence. Go to 12th and Jackson. You can feel the police presence. But I just think it was, it was clever and it obviously worked to sort of get people to talk about this one element that is kind of nothing and to not talk about this other stuff that I think is, you know, if expanded, going to be a lot more effective.
Was Nick Brown, U.S. Attorney Nick Brown, at this press conference? Were you watching, Erica?
I didn't see him.
He wasn't a part of it. Yeah, because he is cracking. He's cracking down.
Yeah, he wasn't on stage, but he could have been in the room. The room was very crowded with Harold Spurs.
I'm getting a press release every day from the Department of Justice practically about another arrest of cartels. So there is a huge effort, not just in Washington, but nationwide. And, you know, what I kind of wonder is no one really talks about it as like the new war on drugs or anything else, because it's cracking down on cartels in particular, as opposed to being framed as some kind of a war on drugs. But it is kind of a piece in some ways with the war on drugs.
You had the mayor, more than a year ago, maybe 18 months ago now, the mayor of San Francisco. Remember when she talked about, you know, we got to stop this bullshit and the people that are fucking ruining our city, right? And she was talking about getting tough on, you know, I think the reason that the DA in San Francisco, one of the biggest reasons he got recalled was because he wasn't prosecuting people, you know, kind of fentanyl dealers, right? Because he said they were Honduran and that would end up getting deported. And like, so we shouldn't be like prosecuting people who are selling fentanyl. And I think there was a backlash against that in San Francisco. I do think there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors here on that part of it. That said, I think we should also talk about all the other elements of this downtown activation plan, right? Which is not just about fentanyl.
Sure. Just real quick before I go there, I want to say one more thing about the fentanyl, just the fentanyl aspect of this and the media coverage. The people that you would expect, you know, me to kind of ally with, the lefty media, really focused on the Stranger and, you know, other outlets like that. I'm really focused on the fact that this doesn't include a safe consumption site. And an aspect of the rest of the downtown activation plan is to allow sip and strolls, as the mayor called it, so that people can kind of walk around, you know, during art walks with wine or whatever. Not that they don't already do that, but legally. And, you know, and this is so hypocritical. And it is, you know, I mean, they are both drugs. But I was talking to Lisa Dugard this week, and she, you know, mentioned something about safe consumption sites that I hadn't really thought about, which is in the era of fentanyl, when people are using, and again, this is just, you know, from our conversation, when people are using, you know, every hour, every 2 hours, because they just have to use constantly to stay well, safe consumption sites might not be the answer that they once seemed to be. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't continue to look at them. But I think the question is, like, how do we need to adapt our approaches? As you know, and when I say our, I guess I mean people who are progressive and want, you know, to be compassionate about drug use. Do we need to adapt our approaches and not just, you know, sort of keep whining about the fact that Seattle is never going to have a safe consumption site?
I've done pro bono work, right, for Lisa and the Harm Reduction Coalition around trying to get a safe consumption site set up in the city of Seattle. I still think it's a good idea. Yeah, there are some changes that have been wrought by meth and fentanyl, but look at New York City. They've opened two of them, and by all accounts, they've been successful in, you know, they're not a panacea, but they make a difference in sort of saving people's lives and reversing overdoses. And I think that is a good thing on the, you know, on one side of the equation. And interestingly, again, talking about the mayor's very good messaging and PR, he was asked about this and he didn't say, no, I'm not doing that. He said, oh, I'm very open to the idea. We should talk about it. I want to like hear more, you know, I think, Erica, you're right. I'm not seeing anything on the horizon that there's going to be a safe consumption site anytime soon in the city of Seattle. But the mayor's kind of...
It's never going to happen. I mean, the county, you know, universally, this giant task force of people from suburban cities and the city of Seattle and the county all endorsed safe consumption sites in, I believe, 2016.
It was 2016. It was the mayor and the county exec at a press conference and endorsed.
And it has not happened. There's always an excuse. There's always a reason. And so, I mean, I don't see the city of Seattle. We don't like to do really new things. I mean, you know, even contingency management, while new for us, like I said, has been around forever.
You know, contingency management isn't a particularly new idea, but these are being piloted here and it really isn't being used practically anywhere. Like two other states, it's kind of an old idea, as you said, but still, I think due to kind of moralistic concerns about, you know, bribing people is the word Jason Rantz used to get off drugs, like, you know, is a concern that even some service providers apparently have about it. And yet it's like something that actually works. And so that we're going to be using
it. Yeah, it's a non-moralistic approach. Yeah.
If it freaking works and it does, you know, and we're talking about really relatively, I mean, we're talking about not even relatively, we're talking about small payments to people. And if that actually works to help somebody get off freaking methamphetamine, Jesus Christ, why wouldn't we do that?
Like, and it's usually, and it's usually meth with combined with other drugs, right? So the reason they're applying it to drug and alcohol consumption, basically any form of addiction, is because it can help with anything, kind of to get people through the door, supposedly. But also, you know, there's a lot of people who are dying from fentanyl overdoses who are also addicted to meth, right?
And there's also people dying. I mean, you know, we never talk about the alcohol epidemic, but I mean, if you are looking at people who are homeless on the streets of Seattle, there's a lot of alcohol addiction and people die from it all the time. And, you know, anything that can help with that. And I think contingency management is also effective with alcohol. And Sarah Nelson, again, mentioned that, as well as, you know, just the fact that it can work for basically any drug. And, you know, just speaking as someone in recovery myself, you know, I don't know if it would have worked for me, but I know it's something like that probably would have gotten me in the door when I was at my most desperate.
Yeah. And we should mention here that Sarah Nelson herself is in recovery, right? And that's, and yeah, has endorsed it. Look, I think there's a lot of agreement on the kind of, the soft side of what the mayor announced. Where I will inject a note of skepticism is the attention that's been paid to, oh, we're going to crack down on, you know, some of this other stuff, I think is more hype than reality.
All right. What about the other piece of this, Harold's downtown activation plan, you know, the effort to revitalize downtown? We haven't really gotten into that. Erica, do you want to start there?
Yeah. So the event was actually held in a location that was activated, I guess is the word we're using these days, by a program called Seattle Restored, which is out of the Office of Economic Development. They're basically providing short-term grants to help help businesses and organizations do these pop-ups for a few months. And I mean, they're all over downtown. So they're going to expand that to another 20 storefronts. I think it's, you know, a good, effective, relatively cheap program. The question is, you know, sort of helping businesses survive long term. And if that's something that we are in the business of doing as a city. So that's happening. They're also finally reopening City Hall Park. And it's going to be, you know, one of those activated parks that I always kind of roll my eyes at. And every time I see John Scholes from DSA, you know, I call him the ping pong guy because they put ping pong in, they put a giant chessboard, you know, all that stuff. But that's really important.
Cornhole.
Because it's the only green space. Cornhole.
Let's do some cornhole. Yeah.
And it's the only green space in that part of downtown. It's next to the King County Courthouse and Pioneer Square. So that the loss of that has been, you know, really heavily felt in the neighborhood. It's been closed for about a year and a half. So that's a big deal. What else? They're talking about, like, as we mentioned before, getting a permit from the Washington Liquor and Cannabis Board to allow people to walk around with open containers. And I'm sure I'm missing lots of elements of it, but it's, you know, it's all that kind of business and, public life activation stuff that, you know, that is corny as hell, but it tends to, be pretty effective at getting people actually on the, you know, the streets of downtown after 5 o'clock, which, you know, and during the day for people who live there and can now use the park again. So, which I think is really important.
I think the ideas are all good that, as you're outlining, just on the, on the pop-up thing, you know, I was just down on First Thursday, right, which is the art walk, First Thursday of the month in Pioneer Square. All the art galleries are open. And yeah, if you can walk around and carry a drink between art galleries as you go visit, that's cool. I was just down there at one of these pop-ups that is funded by this program where Public Display Art, which is a quarterly newsprint tabloid publication put out by One Reel, right, that focuses on artists and artists. I have a piece in the about collecting art in the current issue of it. Well, they had one of these pop-ups for the last few months. I went down there on the last First Thursday. It was really cool. Like, you know, and it's been open as this little gallery for the artists that they're featuring. And it was, you know, the city helped facilitate that happening. They got it at very low or almost no rent. which made it happen. I think that kind of stuff, do 20 more of those, great, right? I think the problem here, though, is that the big structural factors plaguing downtown, the fact that we have less than 50% the number of office workers coming down as we're coming down to downtown pre-pandemic, right? This is all small ball stuff. It's good. It's not really getting at the bigger, potentially serious, permanent changes that COVID has wrought in terms of the kind of, you know, foundational structure of the ecosystem of downtown Seattle, right? And so I want to see more out of the mayor's office. Like, what are you going to do about the big shit, right? Like, the small shit is good. I like it. It's creative. What are you going to do about the big shit?
Well, I talked to somebody in OPCD, Office of Planning Community Development, about, you know, this idea of converting office space to residential. And it was interesting. We got a little more into the details. And, you know, basically what he told me was, you know, the big office buildings, Class A, you know, which is the nice office space, that's never going to be residential. It just doesn't pencil out. But some of the smaller buildings, like the ones that with smaller what are called floor plates, you know, and those unreinforced masonry buildings, like where you and I have our offices, Sandeep, you know, those could be converted into, and there's actually, I've been inside a lot of them. I mean, they would make amazing lofts or, you know, condos, apartments, whatever. And so I think that's what they're going to be looking at more of is, you know, changing zoning around allowing, you know, residential in some of those spaces. It's small ball. It's not like we're going to turn every office tower into apartments, but that was never going to happen anyway.
I'd love it if that's successful and they can spread it out widely. I'm hearing a fair amount of skepticism myself from people who know, you know, kind of the sort of involved in kind of the affordable housing and the commercial office sort of side are saying there may be as few as like three buildings downtown that are really ever going to get converted from office into residential. I mean, even that's something. That's great. Like, you know, we should have more residential if we're not going to have as much need for office anymore. But it may not be, you know, the panacea that maybe some are hoping it is, right? I think there's a fair amount of, as you say, there's a lot of kind of office space that the conversion just doesn't pencil. I will call this a big win for in the short term for the mayor, with his suite of, I think, positive and well-received, ideas. I do think some of this seems more, rhetorical than real, particularly on the holding people accountable side. But some of the other stuff, you know, is good things. And
all right,
and
on balance, Sandeep, what's your letter grade then? Your final grade for this executive order and announcement?
For the executive order or for downtown revitalization?
Everything, the whole thing, the whole package.
For the whole
from thing? PR to reality to just the whole thing. Come on.
I'm going to give it a B+.
B+.
Right,
Erica.
Yeah.
Final.
Okay.
Grade.
Well, I have to go lower than Sandeep. So just on the, on the skepticism side of whether, you know, this will all actually get done, I'm going to give it a B-. But there's a lot of stuff in there that, as I wrote on Publicola, is very exciting.
You really want to give him an A-. You are gushier than me about this, but you just can't do it because your Twitter base will have a freaking freak out if you're giving him a higher grade than I did.
Don't go there.
They can go read Publicola.com.
Publicola.com. All right. That's it for another edition of Seattle Nice. She's Erica C. Barnett of Publicola.com. He's Sandeep Kaushik. I'm David Hyde. If you like this podcast and you are supporting it on Patreon, thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody's doing that. Our expenses are about to jump by a lot, so we really appreciate your support, especially this month on Patreon. We also appreciate the 5-star reviews that we sometimes get. I don't think we get many on of Seattle Nice, wherever you get your podcasts. Please also tell your friends to check it out. You can reach us RealSeattleNice@gmail.com or RealSeattleNice at Twitter. There's also all this information in our show notes, and thanks for listening.